Well, thank you, Sister Clark. My, the deep truths of the Word of God and the Gospel. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the end of the Old Testament. You know there's a gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Before you start the book of Matthew, you have to end up in the book of Malachi, right? So we want you to go to the book of Malachi this morning. And short book, four chapters, and we're only going to use a few verses out of it. I kind of think of the ending of the Old Testament pretty much as what we're seeing today, bringing about a lot of change. God was very disappointed as you read the book of Malachi. He rebuked the people of Israel. He rebuked them for stealing the tithe from him. It got into a place that religion had been, their religion, Judaism, had been almost commercialized to where nobody wanted to close the door on the house of God unless they were getting paid for it. It was a bad time, which parallels pretty much the end of the church age as we recognize that we're in the Laodicean, and the lukewarm predicted age of the modern church. I want you to start out with me here in chapter 3. We'll read about the first six verses. I want to go to the last verse of chapter 2 before I jump into chapter 3. It says, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. In other words, hypocritical talk. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. See, that parallels our day, folks. And he delighteth in them. In other words, God takes pleasure in the evil. Of course, he doesn't. That's what they were saying. Or they would say, where is the God of judgment? Then he says, behold, stop looking, listen. I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Two comings of Christ are in view in these verses. But who may abide the day of his coming? Now he came the first time. He's coming the second time. Verse 2 says he's coming back in judgment, not coming back as a lamb to be crucified, but coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And who would abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Talking about a time of coming back to purify things. Then shall the offering of Judah and of Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. It got to where it was not pleasant in the book of Malachi. They were offering the lame and the crippled and the blind instead of the best of the flock. So he said, the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers. We got that crew manifested today, enlarged today. Sorcerers has to do with, it's actually a root word you get the pharmacy from, dealing with dope and so forth. Sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the strangers from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I want to speak to you a little bit this morning on the subject of change, or actually maybe a little better, what doesn't change. And I know we're fretting still over the election. I understand that. And somebody said, you think there was some cheating, something crooked in the election? Of course I do. Of course I do. The crooks will never investigate the crooks. We understand that. But yeah, I believe that. I heard about a lady fussing. She said, my husband voted for Biden. She said if he'd have been alive, he'd have never done that. No. Help yourself. Oh, yeah, we can fret and we can joke, but there are some big changes coming, folks. There are some big changes coming. I mean, no doubt about it. They're going to undo some of the best things that was done in the last 4 years. We're going to see our enemies empowered again, such as Iran and China and so forth. And we go, you know, we've been made energy independent. That's why your gasoline's not any higher than it is right now. That's going to change. All that's going to change if they're able to do it. You say, preacher, isn't there any hope? Sure, there's hope. There's hope because even the evil crowd has to fight through some folks that are still here that don't believe in their evil. Yes, there's hope because we can still resist. And we can still stand for what is right. And it always takes time. Thank God for our forefathers that gave us laws that are still hard for the evil crowd to get by today. And yes, there's some hope. So I don't think I'm talking discouraging this morning. In fact, I'd like for us to kind of flip the coin and think on what won't change, what will not change. God will not change. You know, we'll see some changes, no doubt about it, no doubt about it. But, you know, I'm glad we got a God that can't be corrupted. He can't be bribed. He can't be bought off. He won't be crooked. He's a judge that will look with honest eyes, and he is watching. And yes, he does give man rope to trip himself. You know what I'm talking about? You ever hear the saying, give him rope enough to hang himself? Oh, I really believe that's true. I used to have a bird dog. A good smart bird dog. We named him Dopey. But he was a smart dog. But I got to noticing he'd lay out on the tree till an old truck came rattling down the road, and then he'd jump up and run, chase that truck. I'd go to the door and holler at him, and he'd come back looking sheepish with his tail between his legs, but he'd do it again next time the truck came by. So I got me a long rope, tied it around his neck, tied it to the tree. Guess what? When the truck come by, he forgot the rope was on him. He took off wide open until he hit the end and went up like this and flopped over on his back. Now, I'm not kidding you. When he got up and looked at me, he looked just like some church members I know. Guilty of sin. Amen. I'll tell you, he was smarter than some. He never ran to the end of the rope again. God gives some rope, but he's going to jerk back one of these days. He's going to pull it back. He's an honest judge. His word, not only does God not change, but his word don't change. Now, men love to try to change the Bible, but they can't change it. Somebody says, well, he broke God's law. No, God's law broke him. The law still remains. The law is still the same. You say, well, he broke the seventh commandment. Well, no, he didn't. The commandment broke him. God's got that recorded against him above. Amen. And God won't be corrupted. His word will not change. Men try to change it. But you know what happens every time? You got all the perverted Bibles out there. But sooner or later, when somebody really wants to get the truth, they'll come back and get the old book. And it's still the yardstick. It is still the measurement. It is still the one that is right. And the truth is, it's going to be that way until Jesus comes back. He said, my word will not pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but he said, my word will not. He said, not one jot or one tittle, the smallest markings of the Hebrew alphabet will not pass away. His word's going to be here. You say, well, I don't like to go to church. Preacher says that the Bible says this. Well, you're going to one day go somewhere where the Bible says this. You're going to have to hear it anyway. You can hear it now and let it work on you, or you can hear it before God when it's too late. His word will not change. And you know the good part about it? It's available. Anybody drive down the interstate and see the signboards where Christians have put up a few words from the Bible? Like Jesus saves and right on down the line. Isn't it interesting how God still has a way to get his word out? You'd be surprised how many folks got saved and the first thing that got them under conviction were just a few words out of the Bible, amen. just a few words. And it is available in Romans chapter 10, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Paul says over there that the word is nigh us. We don't have to go to heaven to get it. You don't have to go way off on another planet to get it. It's nigh. It's nigh, even in our mouths, in our hearts. And it tells us over in Romans 10 that if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's it saying? It's saying, listen, it's not hard to find. It's there. God puts it in front of you. He wants you to know it. It's nigh unto thee. And my friend, rejecting it, you'll answer for the fact that you could have seen it and believed it if you would. Now, the truth of the matter is God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. And it has long, long lasting power. It's available. There's Bibles sitting on coffee tables. They're just pretty decorations. Nobody opens them. In motels, and there's a lot of testimonies where they, by the way, a lot of them will not let the Gideon Bible be put in anymore. But it used to be every motel had a Gideon Bible. And all kind of testimonies abounded from folks that went to a motel under stress and hurt and pain, and many at the point of suicide that opened a Gideon Bible and saw the Word of God, and the Word of God got in their heart and saved them. Oh, yes, it is nigh. It is nigh. It's still the bestseller. It is still the book that's printed more than all others. Yes, the Bible. It's still desired in the heart of man. Strange thing about that. I remember back in the 90s, Brother Lee, you remember probably too, back in the 90s when we went over to Russia, and we had several thousand New Testaments printed up, King James New Testaments printed up in the Russian language. And how we went into there giving them out, and had a little trouble getting in, but once we got in there, it was an amazing thing. Now, Moscow, the city of Moscow, has a subway system that shames New York. I mean, it is something else, and it's run right, it's run good. And in that subway system in Moscow, we'd go down there to where the crowd would be changing from one train, as it were, to the other. And we'd go down there and set up a table in that subway station and put these stacks of New Testaments. And we found that people would stand in line to get a New Testament even at the chance of missing their next connection. Saw that many times. I remember a lot of stories, but I remember one fellow that stood right over kind of my left. I was giving them out. We were giving them out fast as we could. He stood over my left, and he kind of had his arms folded. He was not saying anything much, and I kept noticing him. He kept standing there, and he didn't have his hand out for one like those right in front of us. I kept looking at him, and finally I spoke to him and spoke to him best I could with our language barrier. And asked him, didn't he want one? Now he was looking like this. And his answer come back, he said, no, I'm an atheist. But he kept standing there. He kept standing there. We kept giving them out all around us. In a little while, I offered him again. And yes, he took it. And he was as happy over it as the rest of the crowd. You know what that said to me? God was speaking to the man's heart. We saw that kind of testimony all over the place. Listen, man does want to know what God says, what the truth is. And the Word of God has a way. It's alive. It quickens. It moves. It stirs. And it convicts in the very soul of man. Yes, God doesn't change. His Word doesn't change. I remember, and you've heard my testimony before, I remember as a lost young man driving my race cars and getting ready, still living at home, getting ready on a Friday, Saturday night to go out to the racetrack, and Grandma reading the old Bible to me. Now, it was an old King James with no cover on it. She sat near the door. She mumbled when she read. I knew what she was doing. She's reading the Bible at me. And I'd rail at her about it. Ah, some man wrote that book, but I found when I got on the racetrack and got a little bit tensed up. You know what I was seeing? I was seeing Grandma at the door with the Bible. I say, why does that book bother me? No other book bothered me like that. I'll tell you why it's different. It's the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. And it speaks to man's soul, speaks to man's heart. No, God doesn't change. His Word doesn't change. I know we're in a changing nation now. We all got some fears about it. But folks, we still have a constitution. We can still put up a good fight, and we ought to do that. I know we've lost a lot of rights. I stuck this in my Bible the other day. This is a little copy of the Bill of Rights. Just 10. But you know something? You ought to know those as Americans. You ought to be willing to defend this Bill of Rights. Except for a Baptist preacher, John Leland, and James Madison, the politician at that time, except for them, that Bill of Rights wouldn't be part of your Constitution. It was added later. But it was added because it was necessary. And, you know, the first one is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That First Amendment right is one that's under threat right now. And as they move in to steal our rights as a church to meet, to assemble, to do God's work, we can't give that up. We don't have to give that up. It is a first of the Bill of Rights to the Constitution. And if we give it up, it'll be our fault. Oh, we may have to go through a court case or two, but sooner or later, if there's an honest judge at the top, he's got to honor the Constitution. And we need to stand for that. You go on down the list, and all of it that is there. And it is so, so very, very important today. Second Amendment, I just read you the first. The Second Amendment has to do with your right to have guns. And that's really under threat. That is really under threat right now. I talked to you about that some last week. First thing you know, you'll be filling out forms so you can keep the gun. No, listen, that is the form. That is the law. That Second Amendment, that is it. And some bad things are happening. I'll tell you why, because a dictatorship cannot take over as long as the common people are armed. And that's what's going on right now. Did you read the paper this week about the murders that took place in Lakeland? About the man and wife early in the morning, as the man went out for a jog and left the door open, and a man came in and stabbed his wife to death and forced her to write some checks, and then by the time he got home, he got stabbed to death too. Now I want to say to you, a good gun in the right place would have prevented that. I agree with the sheriff of our county. He said, I've told our folks, if they break in the house, blow them away. And Sheriff Grady Judd is right on that. Let me say this. Ladies, you need to learn how to shoot a gun. You say, well, I'll never have a burglar break in. Well, you may want to kill your husband sometime. It'll come in handy. Learn how to shoot it. Learn how to get it out quick. Say, well, I'll load it. No, keep it loaded. Keep it loaded. We are moving into a different time frame, folks. I hope you know that. I want you to know that fellow that broke in that house and killed those people, he had a philosophy that's beginning to prevail right now. That philosophy is, it's owed to me. So he went and picked out what he considered a wealthy home. And you saw this in the riots on TV. They've got an attitude. We got a right to break that store window. We got a right to go in there and take what we want to. No, they don't have. But the thing that's going to stop them is an armed population out there that will do what we need to do when the time comes. And they are going to move from the slums of the city and from the cesspools of the city. They are going to move out into other places because they got a philosophy they're following now, as wrong as it can be. No, we need to protect our Second Amendment right. I got something else here I want to share with you. This is the way it can happen right here in America. I'm reading a man's testimony, just a brief spot of it. On November the 1st, we were served a temporary personal safety order in our home by two officers. They informed us they were there to take our firearms and to tell us we had to remove our Facebook post defending our political position on pro-life. I respectfully asked them to wait till I could contact Christian Law Association. After talking with them and them telling us we'd probably have to go to court, we let them have the guns. Here's the rest of his testimony. I am totally blind. I have a wife and a young child. with no guns, Jess, his wife, has no way to defend us that I can see. They took my guns as well as the gun registered to her. They wouldn't even allow us to give the firearms to a family member because of the orders of the magistrate. Now, the locality he lives in could be your locality if we mess around. See, all politics are not in Washington, D.C. Some of them are somewhat local. You know what got this guy in trouble? He was pro-life. He wrote on the Facebook his stand against killing the babies. He rebuked his own family doctor who was doing that, did not threaten her life in any kind of way, but then she filed a complaint and they came out and took his guns without having a hearing. Now, I haven't followed up on this. I'm pretty sure he'll get them back, but they should have never been taken to start with. And that's the Second Amendment we better stick up for. Yeah, things are changing, but we don't have to lay down and play dead. We can fight. We can stand up for what is right. And our nation's got a lot of fears right now, and our Bill of Rights will be under attack. And we got to watch out for this new philosophy that we saw displayed in the rights of our cities, in the destruction of the mobs there. Now, let me say this. Some things are not going to change. We still know right and wrong. Yes, you do. You may say, oh, I didn't know. Yes, you did. You know it from God's word. Man's laws are based basically in the old days on God's word. And then number two, you got a conscience that witnesses to the truth. Some of you young people listen. Yeah, well, I didn't think that was wrong. You knew it before you ever asked the preacher. You knew it before you ever asked mom and dad. The one inside of you told you it was right or wrong. Yeah, that don't change. That don't change. We still know the difference in good and evil. And when it comes to church rights, now we're seeing because of the panic of the virus, we're hearing again about shutdowns everywhere. But did you see where the Supreme Court judge, Judge Alito, this week warned the church you're losing your rights? You're about to give them up. Supreme Court judge. Now we're hoping somebody up there is going to put the brakes on this thing. It's amazing when they tell a church you can't go, you can't assemble, and you can't sing. In one case, they said you can't pass the offering plate. Now, that ought to get somebody's attention. Amen? Now, it's kind of ridiculous. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit headstrong on this business. I go in these places where they got the plastic shield up, and you got to wear the mask. And I do that to not... make the employees have to suffer for it. But I like to joke around some. And I went in one place here in town, and the guy said, where's your mask? Well, I had it in my pocket. I said, but when I put on a mask, you better watch out. I may have a gun in the other hand. Just joking around. The young lady behind one of them plastic shields, I said, what's the shield for? Keep the germs away. I said, well, don't touch this germy money. Give it back to me. Kind of inconsistent, huh? Oh, yeah, you get down to the truth every now and then. Every now and then. No, we know what's right and wrong, and the virus fear has been overused. There's no doubt about that. And it has been serious for some folks, not very serious for many. Hey, the death rate, I don't care what you call the spike, the death rate is still 98% of those that get it live. That's still up there with the common flu. I don't know whether you like it or not. That's the stats. That's the stats. Look them up. But you know, they've got all kinds of stuff going on. Did you see now where we're not supposed to celebrate Thanksgiving? Dr. Fauci saying there, you know, that's the little guy that has really been elevated to the top, made a lot of money off of this thing. And he's the one that they all quote all the time. Saw him being interviewed and quoted this week. And he was saying, you know, you shouldn't have more than just a few people at Thanksgiving. I guess we'll stand at the door and say, you can come in, but Grandma, you can't. You go to the backyard with the dogs and we'll take care of you later. Yeah. No, I don't think we ought to kick out Thanksgiving. I think we ought to kick out Dr. Fauci. That's what I think. kick him out good, amen? Because he's got a motive in what he's doing. And a whole pile of the motive is money behind it. You know that, and I know that. Control and money. The vaccine, you'd think we'd be praising that pretty high, but now they're fighting about who's going to get it. Who's going to control with it? Oh, yeah, it becomes political also. Isn't that kind of what Revelation 13 says when they take the mark? Got to take it to buy or sell. I've said this before, but can you imagine if you don't have the mark, if you don't have the vaccine, you can't go in and get your prescription filled? Maybe you can't go to the grocery store. I'm just painting up. You say, oh, it never happened. How much has happened you thought wouldn't happen? Just think on that a little bit. Amen. Now I want to say, though, I'm glad I can say this. The way to heaven hadn't changed. Amen. It hadn't changed. Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. Yes, he's still the way. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And the text here in chapter 4, if I went on in there, it compares him to the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. You know, when all the bad news of the election and all the bad news of everything was falling apart, one morning I was standing there and looking out the kitchen window and seeing the sun way across the lake over, and it rose up. And it was like God said, hey, everything's okay. The sun's still coming up right where it used to. I'm still in charge of this whole thing. Don't let it get you down. And I want to say, folks, it hadn't got me down. I hope it hadn't gotten you down. I still believe in a God that hadn't changed. And his word has not changed. And his promises have not changed. And the truth is, men can still be saved the same way. And that is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, yes. Used to be a dear brother, Brother Jewel, Howard Jewel. I get his name right. Brother Rezaver, you probably remember. Brother Howard Jewel, when he'd come by, he was feeble then. His wife had Alzheimer's. She could not talk to you standing right there. But she could get up with him, and they could sing the same song they'd sung for 40, 50 years. What a blessing. And he's saying, the sun's coming up in the morning. He's talking about the glorious sunrise. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking about when he comes back, the sun's coming up in the morning. And he'd bless your soul and bless your heart with that thing, you know. He is the Son of Righteousness. He is coming back. And while his truth is fought against in every kind of way, it's still going to prevail. Still going to prevail. He's the only one that can save because he's the only one that paid the price of salvation to pay for our sins. He took our sin on him, died in our place, met the requirements of the justice of God that we could receive him and be saved. You know, I'm thankful he paid the price. And then I want to say this, God accepted that price because he raised him from the dead. Put his stamp of approval on what Jesus had done. I think about the story that took place around Easter time many years ago, I guess. A man was standing in front of a show window on the street, a store, and somebody had put a display of the cross and the tomb around Easter time, I guess. And a little boy walked up there and standing there gazing with the man looking through the window. Finally, the little boy, who was apparently faithful in Sunday school and had learned something, began to talk. And he said to the man, said, you know, he was a good man. He didn't do anything wrong. He only went about doing good. He caused the blind to see and the crippled to walk. But he said, mister, they took him and they nailed him to a cross. And mister, they put a crown of thorns on his head and just talking, not looking at the man, looking through the window, just kept talking. And he said, you know, they put him in a tomb. And they put a guard around the tomb. And he kind of just trailed off, stopped talking. The man turned and walked on down the street. Then he heard steps come running behind him. And it was the little boy, and he said, wait, mister, I got something to tell you. They did all that, but he arose from that tomb. And I want to say to you, he's a risen Savior. He can still save. He has not changed. And you can receive him today. Believe on him as the Son of God that died for your sins. Ask him to be your Savior. Every evil thought you ever had, every word you ever said, every act you ever done, he can forgive. He can give you a new start. He gives you a new birth. Would you come receive him this morning? You heard the story over and over. Over and over. Thank God it hadn't changed. So still the way to be saved is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. I'd pray that you would. Would you bow your heads with me, please? On the authority of God's word, we're going to give an invitation. We invite you to come to the front, receive Christ as Savior. We'll take a Bible, show you how you can be saved and how you can know it. How you could know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I pray that that little voice you hear inside right now, you'd say yes to it. Yes, I ought to come to Jesus. Now's the time. Now's the time. Would you do it? Would you stand with me? Father, we come to you in prayer. We ask your blessing on the invitation. We pray some would step out, come to Christ in these turbulent, mysterious, uncertain times. They'd come to that will not change, that will always be the same. I pray they would come and receive Christ even this morning, as I did one morning, and as people all in this building did. May they come today that their soul might be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. We ask you to meet us here at the front. If you'll receive Christ, maybe you need to come for some other reason. Join the church or rededication or just prayer. Whatever. Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Will you come this morning? Will you come? I'm so glad I can tell you it hadn't changed. The way of salvation hadn't changed. Jesus hadn't changed. Still the only way to be saved.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each little lamb of God, I come.
As the music continues, I want to ask we bow our heads in the congregation. Brother Parsons referred to it a while ago in his prayer. Every now and then, like the team meeting we had Friday night and other meetings, we find out some folks have gone to church much of their life, but they didn't really get saved. They never had peace because they never had certainty. They were never sure. If there's any one thing about the uncertain times we're in now, it ought to urge us to be sure, very sure. No time to be taking chances. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. It says men will be lovers of their own selves. Well, if we're not in that age now, I don't know what it could be. All of that ought to urge us to be sure. Sure our name's in heaven. Sure we belong to Jesus. Don't just claim it, but know it. How about it? How about it? Do you? Brother Bird, I'm going to ask you to sing one more verse, and this will be it.
Just as I am.
That's the way he'll receive you. Will you let him? Will you come to him?
Fightings and fears
always sad when somebody don't get saved, but we're not only preaching to the folks that's in the building. There's a lot of folks watching us online and some listening on radio. And we've been hearing some good reports the last number of months, various ones. I've had some very kind notes and found out people were listening many states away, listening and in some cases watching. So God is getting his word out. Amen. 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 Brother Condon, would you step on over and dismiss us in prayer, please?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and come with grateful hearts this morning. Father, just being able to be assembled this morning in this place. Thank you for the truth from your word this morning, the truth that never changes. And Jesus is the way. He's the answer. He's the one that brings salvation. And Father, we pray for someone this morning that still has not yet secured their hope in the Savior that loved them and died for them, that they'll do that before they depart this place today. Thank you, Lord, for our country. Continue to pray for the needs there. Be with our afternoon now, Lord. Help us to be excited about being able to come back tonight and hear again your word preached. We'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.